And W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Progressive Insurance.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. Dominion Voting System says it has reached an almost $800 million settlement in its defamation lawsuit against Fox News. CBS has got McFarlane on what's next for the network.
The trouble isn't over for Fox. Another voting system company, Smartmatic, who Fox News hosts allege was part of an effort to rig the 2020 election for Joe Biden, has also sued for defamation and seeking $2.7 billion. Experts say that too could end in a settlement and potentially a larger sum.
Police in Maine say they have arrested a suspect in connection with the shootings on Interstate 295 in Yarmouth and in a home. WGME-TV's Owens Kingsley.
Maine State Police say they found four people dead inside a home. State Police say the four victims were all shot, but we won't know more about the cause of death until later this week.
The four bodies have been taken to the OCME in the Office of the Chief Medical Examiner's Office in Augusta, where they will determine the cause and manner of death.
Right now, we do not know the identities of the four victims.
In California, a Thousand Oaks student is dead and multiple others hurt after a driver crashes into them as they left school, motive unknown. Police say the driver, who was hospitalized after the crash, is the suspect who stabbed a Walmart employee in Simi Valley earlier in the day. New York City police say they have made five arrests in connection with a deadly plot to drug and steal from two men in the LGBTQ plus community. Mayor Eric Adams.
We want to send a message to our LGBT community that we understood the trauma that you experienced during this time, and that is why we were very clear that we wanted to investigate any potentiality of a hate crime component to this.
Oklahoma's governor wants the resignation of four McCurtain County officials, including the sheriff, over a newspaper's audio recording of them talking about killing two local newspaper journalists. Brenda Howell lives in the county.
I feel like that we don't even have anybody to protect us. You know, we felt like we had someone to protect us, but we are here on our own.
Sheriff Kevin McCarty's office says in a social media post that the recording was illegal. Top consulting firms are telling new hires to wait a bit.
Consulting giants McKinsey & Company and Bain & Company are delaying start dates for new MBA hires. It's leaving some fresh grads concerned that the highly competitive businesses may have wider concerns about the economy. The Wall Street Journal says Bain told those with offer letters that if they delay working for them until April of next year, they'll get money in the bank. $40,000 to work for a nonprofit, $30,000 to learn a new language, or $20,000 to become a yoga instructor or go on a safari. It all comes as McKinsey is in the process of laying off 2,000 workers. Matt Piper, CBS News.
Netflix will end its DVD by mail service this fall. This is CBS News.
Sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Looking for a career path with flexibility, great pay, and benefits? Go to progressive.com/careers and apply online today.
If you have unfiled taxes or are in debt to the IRS, this is important news. The IRS just rolled out a new program to help struggling taxpayers more easily resolve their tax problems. It's called the Taxpayer Relief Initiative, and it opens up powerful new options for people looking to get back on the right track with the IRS. And no one knows this program like the professionals at Optima Tax Relief, America's most trusted tax resolution company. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debt for their clients and have the expertise and experience to help you. One easy call to Optima can start the process, helping to put an end to your worries of wage garnishment, asset seizure, and other aggressive IRS actions. Make today the beginning of your fresh start with the IRS. Call the experts at Optima Tax Relief now for your free confidential consultation.
Call 800-783-8055. That's 800-783-8055. 800-783-8055.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with Syntec and O'Reilly Auto Parts. Syntec Premium Full Synthetic Motor Oil is formulated for today's engines to dissipate heat and friction and reduce wear. Get 5 quarts of Syntec Full Synthetic and a MicroGuard Select Filter for just $33.99. Limit supply, see store for details. Get Syntec only at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts!
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know. Following is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Wednesday, April 19th. In Wood County, the Criminal Justice Task Force will meet at noon at the courthouse in room 114. The Local Emergency Planning Committee will meet at 1 p.m. in the EOC at the courthouse. The McMillan Memorial Library Board of Trustees will meet at 5 p.m. at the McCourt Conference Room at the library. The Wisconsin Rapids Waterworks and Lighting Commission will have their special commission meeting at 8 a.m. in their conference room. The Wisconsin Rapids Zoning Board of Appeals meeting will take place at 2 p.m. in the council chambers at City Hall. The Wisconsin Rapids School District Council for Instructional Improvement Committee meeting will run from 8 to 11 a.m. In Adams County, the Housing Authority will meet from 2:30 to 3:30 p.m. at 350 East Liberty Street in Adams. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Mainly cloudy skies expected overnight with lows around 30. Winds out of the east, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy skies, tomorrow, scattered thunderstorms likely, daytime highs approaching 43. Scattered thunderstorms likely, tomorrow night, lows level off around 38, overcast skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 34.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
States is for Fig Newton. It was named after Newton, Massachusetts.
Oh.
I haven't had a Fig Newton in a really long time.
It's because they're bad cookies.
Man, you're really downing on a lot of things that I like this morning. Jeez, don't yuck my yum.
Don't what?
Don't yuck my yum.
Got it.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Which CEO can you think of that should have to do the job of their lowest worker for a day? Or maybe multiple days?
How about at least a week?
How about a week? So who can you think of? And it could be general, it can be specific. But, and you think of these highfalutin, high-paid CEOs who maybe have lost touch with what it's like for some of the workers at their company. Which ones do you think should have to spend some time doing some shift work? 844-967-2789. Or separately, what would your boss learn if they had to do your job?
Oh, so many possibilities.
So I bring this up because two pretty high-profile CEOs, both one at Starbucks and one at Uber, are joining their workers for shifts. And my hat's off to them as far as some of the takeaways they've learned. And I think more CEOs should have to do this. And so, you know, did you ever watch the show Undercover Boss?
I haven't. I'm very familiar with it, though.
You know what what was it? Was that the late 90s, early 2000s when that show was on? And I feel like that was more, it wasn't CEO. It wasn't like Uber CEO to driver. It was like restaurant owner to dishwasher. Like, I think the gap between the two was pretty different than what the example here is, but I could just be remembering that poorly. Cause you have to also think of who has the time, yeah, let's do this undercover, reality show.
2010.
2010. All right. 2010. So 13 years ago. All right. So the new CEO of Starbucks spent time training as a barista before he took on the new title when Howard Schultz stepped down.
Okay. I was going to say, so this isn't Howard who's going back to making lattes. Okay.
It is Laxman Narasimha. Narasimhan, I think, is. I'm butchering that, which I feel bad about.
No one knows how to say it.
I know. We'll call him Laxman. So he is the new CEO of Starbucks, and he spent time. He's going to continue. So he's already been trained as a barista.
Okay.
And he's going to continue working at Starbucks coffee shops for a half day each month to stay close to the culture and to the customers. And then separately, the Uber CEO, who's been there for 5 years, so this isn't a new thing, He's completed almost 100 passenger and food delivery trips as a driver.
Well done.
So we're talking about, if you're just joining us, which CEO should have to spend time at least once, maybe multiple times, doing the work of their employees to get a better understanding of what it's like to work for them. 844-967-2789. Or if you'd like to share with us what you think your boss would learn if they had to do your job for a day, 844-967-2789. Or you are welcome to, if you're watching the live stream on Twitter, YouTube, or Facebook, leave a comment there and we will read that out loud. But it was interesting. So the Uber driver said, the Uber CEO, when he was driving, said he didn't fully grasp drivers' concerns about the apps like clunky driver sign-in process or the inability to see ride destinations in advance until he actually got behind the wheel himself.
Okay.
And he's already making changes. Like, it actually led to him recognizing the problem and like prioritizing fixing some of those things to improve Uber drivers' experience. And so it jumped from it's helped them, Uber, return to pre-pandemic driver numbers, and it jumped from 62% of the ride-hailing market in 2020 to now 74%.
Oh, wow. So it works.
It's actually, who knew that it's actually it could be a profitable thing to understand your workers better and make necessary changes. But it's interesting because at least some of the stuff I've read is, at least for Starbucks and Uber, they're both facing some pressure from labor organizations and legislatures over how they legislators over how they treat their workers. So that could have something to do with this.
Trying to get a jump on it, don't you think?
Trying to get a jump on it, but it's funny because I saw this. I think Wall Street Journal also wrote this up. Or specifically with the Uber CEO. And it was one thing, like, he saw firsthand, like, tip baiting, and he was punished the app for rejecting trips and like some stuff with the app specifically. But he also said it was surprisingly hard to take the rudeness of some Uber riders. Cause like, he wasn't, you know, I don't think on average, many of us, of CEOs, I would recognize Mark Zuckerberg. Would likely recognize Howard Schultz, but he kind of just looks like your average middle to older white guy.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if he would stand out to me. You know, CEOs aren't necessarily celebrities in the same way that like you see them and you like recognize them. And so for him, the Uber CEO, he said like he didn't, no one really caught him because it was in San Francisco. So if there was any place that probably would recognize him, it probably would be in San Francisco, but it didn't happen often. And so, you know, someone who is as powerful and rich, I'm sure, as him, to kind of have to deal with the rudeness of some drivers, I think is humbling, which also I think is a good thing.
844-967-2789. Which CEO should have to do the job of their lowest paid worker? And also, what would your boss learn if he had to do your job? We have the 715 checking in. Any retail or fast food CEO, especially on Black Friday for retail CEOs? Oh,
yes.
Right?
That's a really good one.
414 says Bezos. Jeff Bezos needs to go work in a warehouse.
That is a very... Jeff Bezos is one I would recognize if I saw him, his little cue ball. If I saw that in person, I would recognize it. Or his leather pants.
God, now I'm going to have to try and scrub that image from my brain. Thank you very much.
I got some good ones on Twitter because I posed this morning. So from one account called Eat Wisconsin, I think every school board member and legislator should have to work in a public school for a week before they can open their mouth about anything regarding public education.
Bravo. Bravo. Absolutely.
It is interesting of how many people sit on school boards who aren't necessarily, haven't worked in the schools at all.
Right. Are not educators.
They're not educators. They're not administrators in any way. You know, and don't have necessarily the best handle of what it's like to work in those schools. That I think that's one of my favorite ones so far. Then Ron Hensky said, have Zuck do content moderation.
That's a great suggestion. What a brutal job that is.
Oh,
brutal, brutal.
I can't even imagine getting paid, like how much you would have to pay me to be willing to comb through the insane things that people post that obviously get taken down, but just horrific.
I read that some of those people who did that for, you know, a year or two ended up with a form of PTSD because it was so stressful and so horrifying.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Then Maureen McCollum over at the producer and host of Wisconsin Life, she said, all of them everywhere.
Let's just make it broad. Let's make it very, very broad.
Yes. And then, oh, go ahead.
414, again, you can check in, either call and or text at 844-967-2789. 414 says, have Robin Voss spend a month working at a minimum wage job and have him only to be able to live on that income for a month. And I
that
think
would be great.
I think the same should apply to Jamie Dimon, who is the head of Chase Bank, who mm-hmm. is famously questioned by Representative Katie Porter with her whiteboard of death, and asking him what he would tell a teller on how to be able to pay her bills and the salary that Chase pays her. And
I know.
You can find it on YouTube. It's worth watching.
I love in that clip when she's like, you're good with numbers, right?
Yeah.
You're the CEO of a bank. Like, you how know, do I make these numbers work?
You know how to budget, right? How would you tell her how to budget?
That'll be interesting. This is a tangent, but to watch that Senate race. Obviously, it's not our Senate race next year
in California
for the first time in how many decades, having an open seat. And how, I don't even know. I know Adam Schiff, Katie Porter, forgot who else has announced so far to be running for that, but it'll be a very high profile primary.
Definitely.
For sure. We had one more from our friend Tyler Menz, who said Phil Woodman.
Of Woodman's?
Of Woodman's. I don't know enough about Woodman's to know, are their employees overworked?
I don't know. They're humongous stores.
I do know that. I wonder, you think, when's the last time Craig Culver started slinging some fish fry at Culver's?
It's probably been a while.
It's probably been a while.
Probably been a little bit.
But I'm trying, what do you think our bosses would learn if they had to do, at least like they hear us every day. But I'm trying to think what they would learn if they actually had to do all the other stuff that we do each day.
That it's more involved than just moving your lips.
Yeah. You can answer it for other jobs you've had. Maybe not our civic media bosses, but as far as other, is that the same you would give to all of the different bosses or CEOs you've had as far as understanding what it is to do your job?
There are particular ones that I would have directions for that I cannot say out loud because of FCC considerations.
Fair, fair, fair.
I'll just leave it at that.
We will leave it at that. All right. Well, if you have any other suggestions on what or which CEO should have to spend some time doing the work of their workers, 844-967-2789. We will take your calls and your texts when we come back.
Working for a living, working for a living, living and a working. I'm taking what they're giving because I'm working for a living. Working for a living, living and a working. I'm taking what they're giving because I'm.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripescast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your civic media station and the civic media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and we dedicate a lot of our time to going as fast as possible. My Grandpa Lou is the reason why my dad and I started racing, and I'm really proud to follow in his tracks. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. I've learned a lot on this journey with my grandpa Lou, and the memories of my grandpa will always be with me. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently, experiencing problems with their memory, or having trouble with routine tasks. Talking about Alzheimer's can be really tough, but if you notice something, have a conversation with your loved one. Encourage them to see a doctor or offer to go with them. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services, make a plan for the future, and access available treatments. The Alzheimer's Association provides care, support, and research to help you take control of the situation with your family and manage the disease together. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Kirsten from Pentatonix. We've all learned how to cope with more time alone. With more time spent isolated or at home, the need for companionship has grown. If you've considered adding a pet to your family, please check with your local shelters and foster organizations. Stray pet numbers have grown immensely over the past several years, and the trauma caused to these animals is devastating. Adopt pets, they need us more than we know. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
From the hometown of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news talk and sports station.
AM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24-7 at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair. And we are wrapping up our conversation around CEOs and what, which ones, I guess beyond the argument that all of them
should,
but which ones more specifically should spend time doing a couple shifts, maybe more than a couple shifts, of their workers, of their employees. Because most recently, this new Starbucks CEO and the Uber CEO spent time doing just that. And I think they gleaned some insights from it.
Right.
And then we also asked, what would your boss learn if they had to do your job?
844-967-2789. You can call or text that very same number. 262 says the Walmart owners.
Yes.
Yes. And I think additionally, as was suggested for some of the other ones, not only should they have to do the work for a week, but they should have to live on that salary for a week.
Yeah. I mean, I think many of us could learn something from having to live on those salaries.
Absolutely.
Right. Actually understanding what it's like to make when you're living, you know, like we said earlier, when we talked about the bill that failed in North Dakota for kids whose parents earn 200% of the poverty line and voted down that they should not get the extended free lunch program. You know, these are kids who don't really have control over how much money their kids and their parents are making, but I digress. But even living at 200% of the poverty line, what that actually looks like every month and feels like, not to just have a little cushion or discretionary income, and the choices that makes you, like that forces you to make, and the desperation it forces you to make, and the situations of maybe you wouldn't make that choice or stay in that situation if you had a little bit more money. And so I think there's a lot of people beyond just the people in charge who could benefit from having a little bit more of an experience of what that actually feels like.
Well, and we've talked about this before. I think that everyone should work in the service industry and everyone should work in a factory. There aren't that many anymore, but I think working in a restaurant is critically important and everyone should have do it at least once. At least once.
Yeah.
401 checking in at 844-967-2789. Conversely, if you are the boss, what would your employees quickly learn if they spent a day in your shoes?
How many bosses do you think are listening to this show?
They're all golfing. It's beautiful outside today.
No, and that's not true. I mean, I think it's, to me, that also thinks about, I think this is a prime example of people who lead from the front or direct from the back, right? Like there's a great, I don't know if you want to call it a meme, but it's a little illustration comic of kind of stick figures. And one on the left side is labeled boss. And you can tell it's the guy in charge sitting on like a chariot type thing. And the workers are pulling him and he's yelling directions.
Right.
And then on the opposite picture on the right side, it says leader, where the boss is at the front pulling the thing from the front. And those are two different very... Anyone who has ever worked at different kinds of companies who've been lucky enough to have a boss versus work for a leader knows the difference between those two people.
I'm sure it's night and day.
And like the people who just tell you what to do, the bosses who it's never their fault. They always push blame onto someone else. They, you know, the poop rolls downhill instead of the buck stops with me. Right. Like that's the difference. And working for someone who actually takes accountability or puts it on their shoulders, even in times when they maybe don't deserve it, but they just know that that's part of the job. That's wildly, it makes such a difference for the culture.
Oh, I bet.
Of the places you work for versus knowing that nothing's ever going to change. Because if you have a leader who doesn't, or a boss who doesn't take accountability, again, it comes back to that brilliant Taylor Swift line, I will look directly at the sun, but never in the mirror.
We forgot one important person. What is the worst job we could give Elon?
Oh.
Shouldn't it be like a janitorial?
Content moderation.
Really? I was
Although
thinking,
maybe he'd like that.
I was thinking janitor.
What do you think? What job has he just never had to do, having been raised as wealthy as he was? You saw the most recent craziness with him, right? In Twitter?
I'm not sure.
So over, you're familiar with what Substack is?
I am. Oh, yes, yes, yes.
So last week, and this is neither here nor there, and this is why I didn't plan to have it as a topic, but since we have 2 minutes before break, I will review it, because it's like, oh, it's just continuing to show how impulsive this guy is on his decisions that are not well thought out.
Right.
So Substack, a software company that a lot of, like, that is the software, if you listen or subscribe to Dan Schaefer's Recombobulation Area, he uses Substack. So a lot of independent journalists or people who write, you know, it's kind of a mix of like a newsletter and a blog that you can subscribe to. And they introduced a new feature called Notes that seemingly is going to be a competitor to Twitter. But some people, including Matt Taibbi, who was one of the authors of the Twitter files, makes his money from Substack because people subscribe to you and pay you $5 a month or whatever to get your content on Substack. Last week, Elon, and this is, Matt's not the only one. There's tons of people who do that. Elon decided, we're just going to delete all tweets that have anything to do with Substack because I'm mad at that company. And it's like, oh yeah, the free speech king does it again.
Right.
All right, when we come back, Jon Stewart, can he just do all of the interviews now? This is As Goes Wisconsin.
It's easy at night, big balls, man, big balls, man, big balls, man. Can't you hear me when I call? I said you ain't so big. You just tall, that's all.
WAUK.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest station ever. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Papa, why can't we telegraph while riding a horse?
Son, there ain't no one to blame but Jeffro. He was riding old Betsy the Stallion, tip-tapping away at his telegraph, when blam, ran right into the side of the saloon.
Well, if Jeffro can't do it, neither should you. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Data shows that after a child turns 9 in foster care, they are much less likely to be adopted. But the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption believes every child is adoptable.
Families, if you're able to let your hair down a little bit, there's a lot to learn from teenagers.
The clock is ticking for teens at risk of aging out of foster care. Learn how you can help at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
If you're worried your friend may be struggling, remember, you don't have to be there to be there.
You can say how while you will get a fake tattoo. You can ask with an app if it works for you. You could write him a text or knit him a sweater. If you can't be together, you could write him a letter.
Whatever gets you talking.
Chat on the game, kick off your flip-flops. You can ask on your couch while you binge watch. However you do it, you gotta ask a friend. And if they don't share, you can ask again.
Whatever gets you talking. Whatever gets you talking.
Reach out to a friend about their mental health. Learn how you can help at SeizeTheAwkward.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
I'm John O'Hurley, and I support Paralyzed Veterans of America because our heroes have sacrificed so much for our independence.
I had just come home. I had noticed my legs were swelling. Next thing I know, it was 3 weeks later. I was paralyzed. PVA has brought me back to life.
While parachuting with my platoon, my parachute didn't open. It left me paralyzed. I just don't think my family would be as happy as they are without the support that I received from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
For more than 75 years, Paralyzed Veterans of America has kept a promise to never leave a fallen hero behind. That's why Paralyzed Veterans of America is providing specialized medical care, life-changing treatments, benefits our heroes earned, the jobs they want, and the accessible vehicles and homes they need. Our paralyzed veterans have helped us live the lives we enjoy today. It's our turn to give them the best lives possible. To learn more, go to pva.org today.
Tired of low or no connectivity? Do you live in BTN, Bug Tussle Nowhere? We want to talk to you. Bug Tussle brings high-speed internet to the places others don't. No contracts, no data caps, truly unlimited internet. Call 877-227-0924.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Alyssa Kay. Here's what you need to know. Stevens Point elected officials decided no changes will happen to turn limits right now. News 9 reports the city council voted to deny putting a limit on term length at their Monday night meeting. The discussion went on at length, but in the end it was decided there will be no change. Wisconsin's clergy abuse hotline has led to charges against three accused predators. Attorney General Josh Call says prosecutors filed formal charges last week in two cases and formalized accusations against a third priest who had died. Call says about 250 people have called in with reports of abuse since the hotline went live 2 years ago. This week is Tornado and Severe Weather Awareness Week in Wisconsin. Stay up to date on the forecast in your area. Know the difference between a watch and an advisory, and have more than one way to receive weather alerts. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Mainly cloudy skies expected overnight with lows around 30. Winds out of the east, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy skies, tomorrow, scattered thunderstorms likely, daytime highs approaching 43. Scattered thunderstorms likely, tomorrow night, lows level off around 38, overcast skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 34.
To understand how the problems and the hiccups and the obstacles. And I had mentioned Craig Culver, and turns out Craig Culver does do this.
Oh, that's awesome.
So Todd says, one of the many reasons I love Culver's is because for years, Craig Culver spent at least one day working different shifts at his restaurants. Maybe not an entire 8-hour shift, but anything from kitchen to register to busing. My understanding is he still does it at least once a month. I could tell you from personal experience, He's waited on me in the Sauk City, Richland Center, Wisconsin Dells, and other Culver's I frequently go to.
Oh, wow. That is really cool. That is really cool.
That is, thanks for texting, Todd, because yep. That is a good, another reason to support Culver's.
You bet.
Our Wisconsin's favorite fast food restaurant. I always love that whenever one of those like national maps come out as far as like each state's favorite X. Like I actually have one bookmarked for each state's favorite Easter candy. And we haven't talked about on air yet. But for Wisconsin, it's always Culver's. And we're the only state. It's the only state that chooses Culver's, but we always choose Culver's because we love it. And it's also like, I would say it's a step up from your run-of-the-mill fast food.
Definitely.
Takes a little bit longer to get it.
Yeah, but it's all made fresh. What can I make for you today is what they ask. And their onion rings rock.
What's your favorite order over there?
They have great onion rings.
They have great onion rings. Their burgers are really good. Their ice cream is good. I mean, they're just all around.
Good.
Are they,
yeah.
Some people really live or die on this question of whether or not or how good Culver's cheese curds are though.
See, and I am not a cheese curd aficionado. I don't think that I am the correct judge. I recuse myself.
I was going to say that is a good answer as far as not getting stuck on this because people get animated as far as whether or not they like. I've heard some people really diss the Culver's cheese curds and how overrated they are versus some people who, as soon as they touch down in Wisconsin from either coast, that's the first thing they have to go order. So
that sounds like a reality show.
They're not the best. They're not my favorite cheese curds, but if you put them in front of me, I will eat them. That is for sure.
All right.
So I don't know if people caught this, but last week there was a clip of former Daily Show host, Jon Stewart, current host of The Problem with Jon Stewart on Apple, accusing the Pentagon of corruption. And it's gone viral since C-SPAN posted it, and you know, it's C-SPAN. So the fact that it's went viral since they posted it to their Twitter profile, it's racked up millions of views already. I saw it, somehow it made its way to TikTok, and that's where I saw it. And it brings back the question that we posed, I think, last Tuesday, in the aftermath of Marjorie Taylor Greene being interviewed by Leslie Stahl and leaving a lot to be desired,
that was terrible.
I think for many of us, in that if you're going to interview her, don't let her get away with calling all Democrats pedophiles.
It's just challenge them with facts. When they make these kinds of broad blanket statements, then have something to challenge them with that is based in reality.
And so I said this last week, as like, can you imagine had it not been Leslie Stahl, but Jon Stewart interviewing Marjorie Taylor Greene, which I don't know if that will ever happen. I don't think Marjorie Taylor Greene is that smart, but I would think that she's smart enough to not
to avoid
accept
him?
That invitation. But Jon Stewart appeared at the War Horse Symposium in Chicago last week on Thursday, where he interviewed Kathleen Hicks, who is the deputy secretary for the Department of Defense. And during the discussion, Stewart called out the discrepancy between the department's massive budgets, which we hear every single time there is a budget. It seems to only go up for the military, no questions asked, every year, even though we don't really know where it goes, and the fact that many soldiers are struggling with the bare necessities or like basic needs. And he, Jon Stewart, ultimately suggesting that the situation smells like corruption. And so the clip that's gone viral is about 6 minutes. We're not going to play the whole thing. We're going to play some of it so you can kind of get an idea of the tense exchange.
Do you feel like these are unfair questions of somebody within a department of that size and scope?
I think you have a particular thing you really want to talk about, and you're asking me other questions. But I don't think it's unfair to ask me about the audit. It's absolutely the case that the United States military should be able to pass an audit, and we've got to be on that pathway to get there.
But don't you think that that does speak to the larger point that we're trying to get at, which is good journalism uncovers corruption?
And okay, good journalism does uncover corruption, yeah. But I'm not sure these two things are linked. An audit is not...
Oh, but they are.
Okay, so you need to explain to me, do you understand what an audit does and the degree to which it is linked to the question that you're asking?
I believe so.
Okay, go ahead. Give me your explanation.
I don't mind learning. So what I would suggest is that the audit that they have in the military doesn't really look at... whether or not there's efficacy, it's just whether they got delivered the thing that they ordered.
So it goes on. It's really good. We'll put it in today's notes that you can find on asgoeswisconsin.com/listen.
Did you see the whole thing?
And you can see the whole thing. I mean, actually, someone, even before we started talking about this today, someone DM'd me the whole symposium.
Oh.
And their request was us talking about the budget. I was like, I think I need to get an expert on to talk about defense budget stuff. I'm not sure I can just
pontificate about that for 30 minutes.
But I'll link both to today's show notes. It's really good, and it made me think of our comment from last week of he is so good at this, and why is he seemingly right now, at least, so much better at this than some of our other broadcasters. And we want to play a couple different clips just as a reminder, especially recently, because he's only gotten better.
Yes.
Right. Since Daily Show. And I would say if you watch The Problem with Jon Stewart, there's jokes, but I wouldn't say it's a comedy show.
I would agree with
and you. So let's set up the first one, because I know we pulled probably the two most viral ones of the last year.
Jon Stewart was talking to an Oklahoma lawmaker earlier this year. The lawmaker does not want any restrictions on guns because his contention is that that makes us safer.
If you look at the statistics.
Right. Yeah, they're dying from gun deaths.
80% of school shooters either came from a broken or fatherless home.
So you would say no guns for fatherless homes?
No, that's not what I would say. Oh. I would say that fathers need to be more engaged.
Great.
So let's put
more resources into areas that are poverty stricken. All for it.
And into fatherlessness. And that's something that we're doing.
But why with guns are you against bringing order?
I'm not against bringing order.
You are. You're also making it less safe for cops and for people. When the police go to a domestic call, it's the most dangerous call they can go on.
Mm-hmm.
In your world, if they knew that there were firearms in the house, that's a safer call. Is that what you're saying?
No, because police...
Because why?
Because police treat every situation as a potential...
But more guns makes us safer. So why don't, when the police go to a house filled with guns, why don't they breathe a sigh of relief knowing that this Second Amendment that shall not be infringed is being exercised so fruitfully?
And that was only one soundbite from that interview when he makes the point about what do you have to do when you vote?
Yeah. You have to register.
You have to register?
Yeah.
And is that an infringement on your First Amendment right? So there was that example. And then even before the Oklahoma one that was from earlier this year, at the end of last year, I think October, November, he interviewed the Attorney General of Arkansas about some of the legislation getting passed as it was dealing with trans youth.
And banning the treatments for trans youth.
Why would the state of Arkansas step in to override parents, physicians, psychiatrists, endocrinologists who have developed guidelines? Why would you override those guidelines?
Well, I think it's important that all of those physicians, all of those experts, for every single one of them, there's an expert that says we don't need to allow children to be able to take those medications. That there are many instances where...
But you know that's not true.
You know, it's not for everyone. There's one. These are the established.
Well, I don't know that. That's not true. I don't know that.
Then why would you pass a law then if you don't know that that's true? Wouldn't you?
Well, I know that there are doctors and that we had plenty of people come and testify before our legislature mm-hmm. who said that, you know, we have 98% of the young people who have gender dysphoria,
right.
That they are able to move past that, and once they have the help that they need, no longer suffer from gender dysphoria. 98%
wow.
without that medical treatment.
That's an incredibly made up figure.
It's the whole thing is a masterclass.
And so my question is, beyond the fact that Jon Stewart is incredibly smart, and he obviously preps a lot for these interviews. But like, why is he so good at this? Why is he seemingly better than many of our current broadcasters who get big, high profile interviews? I think the only one I would say, and I still think, I don't even know if he's as good, but Mehdi Hasan,
who's really good,
MSNBC. He's also really good. I actually want to read his new book. I think it's like How to Win Every Argument or something like that. I've got it on audiobook. I haven't started it yet. But what is it about Jon Stewart? And some people might say it's because he has leniency because he's a comedian. And I don't think we have time to play it. Do we have time to play it now?
We can play it on the other side.
We'll play it on the other side. We'll set it up now. I think there's maybe an argument for that. But because he is a trained comedian, he also is, you know, that is what he's very good at, is finding kind of the angles and the irony and the hypocrisy and pointing things out. But does he actually have more leniency than a journalist does when it comes to representing a news outlet and what journalistic integrity is? Does Jon Stewart, is he good because he can get around those rules? Not in her prime, recently accused of sending misogynistic texts and being an all-around diva. Lemon was currently caught on a hot mic talking about this and talking about Jon Stewart. We have that clip that we'll play when we come back. But if you have thoughts or theories, even if you don't like Jon Stewart, you can't deny that he is good at this. And he is good at holding people's feet to the fire when he interviews them with facts. Let us know what your theory is of why he's so good at this. Mostly so I can then emulate that and do this someday. 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. And we'll be right back.
Saturdays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Smiles are powerful. They spread joy, laughter, and hope. But not everyone gets a fair chance at a smile. Every 3 minutes, a baby is born with a cleft, making it difficult to talk, hear, eat, and even breathe. In America, most children with clefts receive immediate care, but others around the world may never have access to the surgery they need to thrive. Smile Train is changing that. As the world's largest cleft charity, our sustainable model has sponsored more than 1.5 million smiles. We offer training and financial support to local medical professionals so they can provide life-changing surgery and other essential services at no cost to families.
It's more than to see these children, to hear the difference that we make. And for me, being born with a cleft lip and palate, knowing what they went through is so life-changing for me.
Help us change the world one smile at a time. To learn more, visit smiletrain.org/learn.
In honor of all those we've lost to cancer and those still fighting and thriving, like basketball analyst Dick Vitale.
I want to beat cancer. I'm going to beat it. That's no doubt in my mind. I'm going to win this battle.
Defeating cancer will take all of us. At the V Foundation, V is for victory over cancer. V is for victory over giving up.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
Join our team in the fight against cancer at V.org.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Corruption. I'm sorry.
He gets a lot of leeway with the comedian thing, though.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Medinair. And that was a clip of a clip. It was basically Don Lemon on CNN had played the clip of Jon Stewart interviewing Kathleen Hicks, who is the deputy secretary of the Department of Defense. And it was a clip that had gone viral since the last week, Thursday, at the War Horse Symposium in Chicago, because Stewart really holds her feet to the fire as far as an audit and these discrepancies between what the military is spending versus the basic necessities that so many soldiers are struggling to have. And like, where is the money going?
Right.
And she was, I think a lot of people would say that it may have been a career limiting interview on her part, as far as her lack of political savviness to answer his questions without coming across as smug. Is that the word you would use to describe her answers?
I don't know if smug is the right word. I think she was surprised, and I think she was taken aback. Knowing Jon Stewart's politics, I think she may have expected that this was going to be a much friendlier face to talk to.
Why would you? Well, because she's been appointed. I mean, this is obviously the Department of Defense right now is Biden's Department of Defense, right?
Yeah, exactly. So,
but I think if you know anything about Jon Stewart, he doesn't care what party you're on.
Not really. Now, if he thinks it's wrong, he's going to, and what you're doing is wrong, he is going to call you out on that.
Yes.
844-967-2789. What makes Jon Stewart so much better than some of the big name journalists that we have? Leslie Stahl, Chuck Todd come to mind. A texter from this 608 says, Jon doesn't care about future access to these politicians, and being a comedian means he can be honest instead of being objective. That's why he's so good at it. He does not have to dance around the reality.
And it's interesting because basically, so the clip we played, just to finish that off, is Don Lemon on CNN on a hot mic, basically kind of saying, well, he gets more leeway because he's a comedian.
Yeah.
Which is, but I would like for him to expound on that more. It's like, what can he do that you can't? Certainly cursing and saying it's effing corruption, mate, you can't necessarily do that. But I actually think in this day and age on cable news, that would make good television if one of their broadcasters really
let fly,
was able to do something like this. And it's interesting because I think the 608 is right. And Kara Swisher, who is a really prominent tech journalist. She has like a hot and cold relationship with Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg. She knows these guys. And she has often, when she is interviewed about her interview style, she interviews them like she's never going to interview them again. And sometimes that means she will never interview them again because they're not very happy with what she asks.
Exactly.
And it does take a certain, I don't know, and I think she's maybe done, it'd be interesting to see if she did that her whole career, because with someone like Jon Stewart, his name, his clout, he doesn't necessarily have to interview you again. Like, there is other people there. Like, our show right now, I would love to be able to interview people that hard, but I would also, at this point in our nascent stage of being a show and a network, I would also like people to come back. And I don't think I have that kind of power yet.
One day,
emphasis
Kristen.
On yet, yes.
One day you'll become power mad.
And I think that's probably right. It's a combination of how smart he is, how quick he is, how armed he is with the facts, potentially a good predictor of where the conversation could go. Because I have to imagine he's not just doing this by the seat of his pants.
Oh, gosh, no. He's got to prep for this stuff considerably. Like you said, he has so many facts at his fingertips that, you know, he's got a team who is helping to prep him, I would think. 844-967-2789. If you want to check in on just why Jon Stewart is so darn good at what he does. 715 says Stewart is good because he doesn't move on too quickly. Way too many interviewers try to cover too much in too little time, and they don't let the interviewee answer the question with a dodge or a soundbite.
That's interesting.
I agree, and I think sometimes some of these regular, more, you know, traditional news hosts, they don't let them talk long enough to trip themselves up.
Well, and it's also interesting if you think about the medium. So when Daily Show had a person who was a live guest, you had to stick to that time slot. When someone goes on CNN, and it's live, you have to stick to that time slot. When you can, if you think about some of the Daily Show and when they would do like Better Know a District, it would be a longer interview where they clip out pieces.
Right.
And I think in the format of Jon Stewart's show now on Apple, they can have an hour and a half long conversation and edit it down to the pieces that are worth airing versus the constraints of, we got like this show, right? Like we have 15 minutes and then a break, and then we have 8 minutes and then a break. Right. And maybe we scheduled someone else to come on afterwards and blah, blah, blah. And so I think there is luxury in that kind of setting. And even in this the Warhorse Symposium, like people were there to watch these two talk,
right,
and they had time.
Right.
And so that's a really interesting point too. 715.
One more text. Again, you can always check in, call, or text 844-967-2789. Most reporters are and have been trying to play both sidisms, Dems and Republicans the same, and of course they are not the same. But that's reporters are trying to portray that they are objective.
Yeah.
I mean, how would, if when Trump came down the escalator that year and reporters started saying, well, he's lying. That's a lie. That's just a bold-faced lie. I don't think that would have played well. And there are still some who can't admit that the man has lied. So it's, I feel, you know, but again, gravity either exists, Kristen, or it doesn't, right?
And last I checked, it does.
Okay.
I'm sitting in my chair right now. I'm not floating. All right. When we come back from the top of the hour news, we are going to talk to Chris Pollard, who is the membership manager over at Milwaukee Film Festival, because Milwaukee Film Festival is almost back. Tickets go on sale for the general public tomorrow. So we're going to talk to him on how to navigate 139 different films and what you should go see, what you should expose yourself to, and maybe even become a member of Milwaukee Film Festival. So stick with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Is now in session. Today's subjects, biology.
Name an animal with the long neck.
Dinosaur, long neck, yeah.
Let me ask you something. When last time you seen one?
Anatomy.
Name a part of Steve Harvey that a woman might want to kiss.
Your six pack.
The six pack? Does she know who Steve Harvey is?
What grows in the forest? Trees? Sure. Know what else grows in the forest? Our imagination, our sense of wonder, and our family bonds grow too. Because when we disconnect from this and connect with this, we reconnect with each other and build family memories we will carry with us forever. The forest is closer than you think. Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. It's easy. Just put in your zip code to find family-friendly outdoor destinations near you. You'll also find guides to free activities, games, and amazing forest facts. Give the magic of the outdoors to your kids and reconnect with your family. Find a forest near you at discovertheforest.org. That's discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
News talk and sports on both sides.